just getting here. Hopefully you got your rest so you don't fall asleep on me. And we'll see where this goes here. Okay, if you'll open up to Mark chapter 15, that's where we'll start today, and that's where most of the message will be today, though we'll skip around to a few verses. But what I want to bring today is a message about some people that were where they were at in relation to the cross of Jesus while he was dying on the cross. And I heard this message preached, and there's a few of you who've already heard this message preached. It's not quite the same, but it's one we heard in South Africa. It was by a brother, Brother Lunga, and he's one of the South African preachers there. And this message really did touch my heart, so when Pastor Dimlo asked me if I would bring a message, this is the one that kept coming back to me. I told him, send me a message just in case, and he didn't, so this was God's will, evidently. So we will go with it. And I do believe it's God's will. This is what was on my heart the whole time. So, you know, Pastor Dimlo, I think it was last week, he was teaching about how God brings people from different walks of life, people with different personalities, that God can bring unity among all these people, even though we're from different walks of life. And while we were at camp, Brother Lunga brought up the same thing, that he was looking at camp and he was seeing different people from different places that are going through different things in life, but God wants to accomplish something in each and everybody's life with that. And, you know, we can't do it, but God can. So now we won't be talking about unity today, but we will be talking about different people or groups that were at the cross and what they seen. We're not going to go into great detail about each group, but I'm just going to introduce them. And the application to this message is going to be very short, and it'll come at the end, but I got to do a lot of building up the foundation of this lesson so we can draw a picture, and I think you'll understand where I'm going with this. So to start out with, there was a day about 2,000 years ago, and God, through his will and his power, brought together different people from different walks of life into one place. And when you look at these people that God brought together, you can almost see the different hearts of the people who were there that very day. And my lesson touches on many verses in chapter 15 and a few others, but we're just going to start out with two verses right now, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into this message. So let's go to verse 21 of Mark chapter 15. And it says, "And they compelled one, Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bow before you this day, just thanking you for the day we have to be here. I just pray that this message I'm preaching, I can keep my mind set on what you would have me to preach, Lord, that your spirit would give me free will to say what I need to say, and that each heart here, Lord, would be ready to receive your word, and if there's one here that's not saved, that they would even be saved today. Just thank you for this time that we have, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So the Bible here, when we start out, the Bible here in verse 21 tells us they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian who passed by. And this is the first person we're going to talk about. The Bible doesn't say much about the man, but the first few words tells us a few things. He was originally from Cyrene, and he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And evidently, these are people Mark knew. Maybe not at this point, but in the future, they would know who these men were, or these sons of Simon. And that's most likely because we can assume they probably were saved at least after this point of life, or point of the cross here. When we look at Simon, where was he coming from? We can assume he was coming from Cyrene, but we can't say for sure. And where was he going? Because it says, Simon the Cyrenian who passed by. And again, we can assume he was there for the Passover, but again, don't know. What we do know from verse 21 is that they did compel him to bear the cross of Jesus. And so he doesn't seem to be a disciple of Jesus Christ at this time, or at least the scriptures doesn't bear that out. All we know is that he was compelled to carry the cross. And why was he compelled to carry the cross? Again, I think if you really think about it, Jesus had just been in a trial all night long. He had been beaten. He had been mocked. And even though Jesus is God, he was in a human body. And human bodies can only take so much. So his strength may have been waning. They seen that, and they wanted to get him to the Golgotha. So they compelled Simon to carry the cross. Whether that's true, whether that's not, we just know he was compelled to carry the cross regardless. But when we think about this, God, in his timing, was giving this man, Simon, an opportunity. How much did Simon know about Jesus Christ at this time? Bible doesn't say, but Simon was given the opportunity to carry the cross, and while he was doing that, if he had never heard of Jesus before, he was hearing about him now. And as he's carrying the cross, you got to think what was going through his mind, you know, carrying this cross. He heard a lot. He heard a lot of people talking about Christ. And Christ, even on the way to Golgotha, said a few things. So he even got to hear some of the things Jesus was saying. So he was learning about this man called Jesus. And again, if he didn't know anything about Jesus, he was hearing about it then. He would have also seen, not only heard, but he would have also seen what was happening as he brought Jesus to the very place that he was going to die. And most likely, he became a disciple of Jesus because of this day. Again, that's an assumption, but we'll go with it. This is the place where Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was going to die on the cross. And here we see the next group of people we're going to talk about, which are the soldiers. God brings the soldiers too. Go to verse 17, and it says, and they, of the same chapter, chapter 15, and it says, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they spit upon him, and they bowed their knee, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and they put his own clothes on him and led him to be crucified. And so we see the soldiers here. They mocked him, they beat him. And one thing we see is that there was no compassion for Jesus from the soldiers. All they cared about is what they could get from him. In In verse 24, it says, "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take." That's what they cared about Jesus about, is what can I get from this man? No compassion whatsoever we see in these soldiers. Not only were the soldiers there, but we also find two thieves that were crucified with Jesus next to him. In verse 27, it tells us, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left." And in verse 32, it tells us, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. The two thieves that were crucified on his sides, they were reviling him. In Matthew 27 and 44, it says, "The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." And so, we do know one of the thieves later would repent and become, as Chris taught today, he would repent, and Jesus would say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." But at this time, what were they doing? Reviling him. The one thief never did come to repentance. He just talked bad about Jesus the whole time. And you would think, "I'm dying. Maybe I should make myself right with God." But he didn't. Well, this brings us to our next group we're going to talk about, and we're going to call them the passerbys. And in verse 29 and 30, it says, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." And so this group, they were just passing by, but God wanted them to be there for a certain reason. And we'll get to that here in a bit. But even the ones that were passing by, God had them there for a reason. And we got to realize each and every one of these people were there because of God's divine appointment. The next group we're going to talk about are the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. They were there too. Initially, they took him to Pilate. If we look in verse 1, it says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him unto Pilate." They take him to Pilate, the Bible says, and straightway in the morning, they bring him there. And why did they deliver him there? Because they wanted him dead. And if you go down to verse 11, it says that they even moved the people against Christ. In verse 11, it says, "But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them." So at this time, Pilate could release a prisoner. And so I think really what Pilate did was probably pick the worst out of the whole bunch to say, "Do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas?" And the chief priest still compelled them, pick Barabbas. And so that's what they did. They picked Barabbas. Even after they had had Jesus crucified and he was hanging on the cross, these very same chief priests challenged what Pilate had written on the superscription above his cross, which said, "King of the Jews." And they said, "Don't say King of the Jews, rather that he said, "I am King of the Jews." And of course, we know what Pilate said. He said, "What I have written, I have written." And we can see their heart. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They wanted him dead. And then we come to another group, which were the bystanders, just standing around and watching what was going to happen. In verse 34 and 35, it tells us that in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled the sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see if Elias will come and take him down." So this group was just standing by and watching what would happen. And they, more than likely, they were curious to see what would happen with Jesus. What was going to happen? They said, "Let's see if Eli comes." And so their heart was just there just to be witnesses. And then we see the centurion in verse 39. And the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." Now, the centurion was there to make sure that Jesus' sentence was carried out. That was his job. But when you compare the other Gospels, it's possible that the centurion might have been saved. He believed that Jesus was a righteous man. You see here, he said he was a Son of God. We don't know. That's an assumption again. But he could have been saved through this time. But he was one person that was there. Pilate was there also. He had written the superscription and made sure it was delivered to where Jesus would be crucified. And he wrote the accusation, "King of the Jews." In verse 28, it tells us, "And the scripture was fulfilled." Yeah, that's not quite what I wanted. Oh, yes, it is. Verse 28 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said that he was numbered with the transgressors." Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty of everything that the chief priests and the elders brought up against him. He knew it. He even washed his hands saying, "I'm free of the blood of this man." He knew they did it just for envy, but yet what does he do? He has them crucified to appease the people. And so he was there. And then we find another group. And here the group is a group of women. In verse 40, it says, "And there also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome." The women, we are told, that they followed him after his calling. In verse 41 it says, "Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him to Jerusalem." So they were there, they ministered unto him, and they were looking, and we say, from afar off. But you know, when I read all of this, I just have to pause and ask, where are the men? God took time to say the women were there, but if you remember, many men were saved. When he fed the 5,000, there were men saved. There was a lot of men saved, but where are they? God takes a specific time to say the women were there. But there's not very many men standing for Jesus there, is there? Really, we'll see one, which is John. The men are not there, but the women are. And that just kind of stood out to me. But, you know, there was another group. And though this group is at least part of the women, but when we just talk, look at this, at some point, some of the women who were standing afar off and were looking from a distance drew near. Because if you will look, let's go to John 19 and verse 25. In John 19 and verse 25, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." And we see here that they're no longer standing afar off, but they stood by the cross of Jesus. And when we start looking at that, then we see what Jesus said to John, still in the same chapter of 25. It says, "And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home." So now we see that these women move from afar off and they're by the cross. And I want to draw your attention to that phrase, the phrase, "they stood by the cross of Jesus." Mark 39 says, we're marking there by the cross. And let's look again into Mark verse 39. And it says, "And the centurion which stood over against him, that he so cried out and gave up the ghost." Two different words, really, and I want to draw those. Jesus' mother and those other women and John were by the cross. And, of course, the centurion was against him. God is drawing our attention to that he brought all these people together, that all these people were to behold his son dying upon the cross. Jesus was dying for all mankind. And God was going to take away the sin of the world to put them upon his son dying on the cross. And God had made that point that all these people will be there to see what he was going to do. Some of those people who believed in Jesus, some probably got saved after Jesus rose from the dead, but God brought them all together for a reason. He wanted them to be a testimony to what they saw. You know, you could ask every one of those people that were there at the cross what they saw that day, and I believe all of them would say one thing: Jesus died on the cross. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. He died on the cross. All of them could say what they saw, and the one thing was they saw that day was Jesus died. And they may say, "I didn't know him, I didn't know his name, but I remember that he was crucified on the cross and that he died." They saw all of that. And then I want to bring up one more group, a group that never showed up. And I didn't realize this till I started studying it, but the one group that never showed up were the Pharisees. If you will read all four accounts, you never see the Pharisees showed up. Remember how they were questioning Jesus, how much they always were against Jesus, and at some point they sent disciples to question Jesus and to take him. But when the time came for Jesus to be crucified, the Pharisees were nowhere to be found. Now, when we ask, who are the Pharisees? These are the people who thought they were righteous. They thought their works and what they did would get them to heaven. They thought they were righteous, and even when Jesus said that if you want to go to heaven, you must have your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of Pharisees. But they never showed up to the death of the cross, probably because they didn't want to make themselves impure in some way because the Passover was happening. So when we look at this, we see by the cross, against the cross. I hope you see where I'm going. This was about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. At some point in your life, God is going to bring you to behold the cross where his son died. Those of us who are saved, there was a day when God brought us to see his righteous son on the cross and to see the reason why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin debt, that we wouldn't perish. We deserve the cross, not Jesus, but he took it upon himself. Because of if you want to be saved and you want to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to do it the way the Bible says it. The Pharisees never showed up because they thought they were righteous, but we're not righteous. We have to do it the Bible way. And the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of Man, was lifted up just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that those who would look upon him, look upon Jesus, will be saved. Those who look to the cross and believeth him in him will have everlasting life. I don't know when you will be saved if you're not saved, but I do know this: God is going to bring you to an understanding of the one who died upon the cross. When you study the Bible and you read of men whom God softened their hearts and brought to the point of repentance, all those people who were there seen how wicked they were. I seen how wicked I was, and I realized that I should have been the one on the cross. But Jesus died for us. He took our sin debt upon him that we can be saved. I want to look back at those phrases I was talking about, and here's the application. The Gospel of John says his mother and his mother's sister and the disciples were standing not against the cross, but they were standing by the cross. The whole world at this time was against Jesus, but those who were staying, those who were by the cross of Jesus, they stood at the cross. And they said they didn't care what happened to him at that time. When you think about it, they were crucifying Jesus. All his disciples had really left him. They were worried about what was going to happen to them, but they stood by. When Satan brings all the temptations of this life and he throws the wiles, the Bible calls them the wiles of the devil, I want to ask, where will I and where will you be found standing? Are we going to be by the cross or against the cross? And I think we got to ask sometimes, God forgive us, you know, sometimes I think we find ourselves against the cross. Can you imagine the courage it took for Jesus' mother and John to stand at that moment by the cross? When everybody was cursing Jesus, when everybody was saying everything against him, we find them by the cross. And again, they're saying, I may die, but I want to stand. If I can do anything, let me stand by him. What about us? Where are we found when the world are saying evil things against God? You know, people are dying who trust in him. Where will we be found? Standing by him or against him? When we think of it, we're living in perilous days, and the days are getting darker and darker and darker. And how much it needs people to stand by the cross. The world needs to see people who are professing Jesus Christ standing by him, even during the thickest of the moments of life. We need to stand in the face of all kinds of temptations from our families, from our friends, from colleagues. Just as God brought all these people together that day for a reason, when we look at it, you know, I wonder how many people after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ maybe met John and said, I remember seeing you standing by the cross. In that sense, what an opportunity John could use to say to those people, he was dying on the cross for you. He was dying on the cross for me, and preach the gospel. In that same way, if we're standing by the cross and we stand for Christ, maybe people may not like us, maybe people, but you know, when we stand with courage and we stand for something, people ask, what makes you do that? And that gives us the opportunity to preach Christ to them. If you're not saved, you are standing against the cross. Automatic. But you know what God wants you to do? God wants you to make that decision. The decision that I'm not going to stand against the cross, but I'm going to stand by the cross. And what does this signify? It signifies that you're identifying with Jesus who died for you. You are acknowledging that he died and that you don't want to fight against him anymore. You want to stand for him. As we end this lesson, I wonder which heart you identify with as you're sitting there. Are you like Simon? Are you just passing by and probably never planned on being here, but somehow you're here? And again, we say that's a divine appointment from God. Are you like one of the soldiers? Maybe in your heart you're mocking God. You're mocking Jesus. You have no reverence for him. Or maybe you're in the crowd that really never shows up believing that you're okay. My righteousness will get me to heaven. All the good works I do will get me there. But the Bible says Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus said he came to call sinners to repentance. Those who think they're all right will die lost and end up in hell for eternity. There's no amount of good works you and I can do to be saved. Jesus Christ finished everything when he died upon that cross and rose again. So again, in finishing, where will we be found? Will we be standing by the cross or will we be standing against it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and I just pray that this message will resonate in each heart, and that your will can be done. And if there's one here that was not saved, that's not saved, Lord, that they will be saved today. Just again, thank you for this day, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.